y'all hear me.
You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Wednesday. God bless you. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today. It is Wednesday, hump day already. This week's already off to a fast start. Hope everyone had a wonderful Labor Day, and perhaps you guys had the day off, as I did, and that you enjoyed it. Summer's almost done here, and let's get into the Word here today. Now, speaking of my associate pastor, Darren Solana, he preached a sermon this last Sunday. It was an outstanding sermon. This is part two of that. Started yesterday. If you missed that, you can download it. You can subscribe to the podcast, and you'll find that here on the Island Community Church Facebook page. The video to the sermon is on the Island Community Church YouTube channel. You can see that there. You can go to the on-demand here at the radio station that you've tuned into here, either WWBC or WMIE. Subscribe to this program. Get the Word of God in you during the week. I encourage you to do that. It'll transform you as well into a spiritual giant just like David. Okay, here we go. Now, this is part two of this message. I invite you guys to church tonight. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, you still have 28 minutes to come to church tonight. We're in Daniel chapter 3. We got an awesome chapter here, and it's eerily similar to what's going to happen here in the book of Revelation. That is, the world ruler, the head of the last government, is going to make this image of himself, and he's going to force everyone to bow down and worship the image. That's just like Revelation chapter 13. And so that's where we're going to be. We'll look at the comparisons. We'll go through this chapter verse by verse. We're in Daniel tonight at 6 o'clock. Join us in person if you can, or watch us on the live Facebook feed at 6 o'clock on the Island Community Church Facebook page. Okay, here we go. This is Pastor Darren now. This sermon is entitled The Confrontation of Christ.
It's a hard word. It's hard sayings. And don't think that I don't fully, when I've finished a sermon like this and I look back on it, don't think that I don't fully expect to get some backlash at the end of the service back at the back door. I do. Most of the time I do. Most of the time I think, golly, the harder I am on them, the more they receive it. But I expect it. And I'm sure the church can find a preacher that would shy away from stuff like this. But I can't change the Word of God. You're faced with the confrontation of Christ, and you're left with two choices: follow him or apostate. Those are your only two choices. You can't sit somewhere in the middle. Will following him make you one of those Jesus freaks that everybody talks about? You're darn right it will. You're darn right it will. Call me a Jesus freak. I'll consider it a compliment. Yeah. Our Lord himself tells us what choice to make because he repeats himself in Matthew chapter 16. At verse 24, he says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it." I'm here to say today that Jesus will not occupy the position of second place anywhere. He will not sit in second. There's only one place for Christ, and that better be first. There ain't one and a half, one and three quarter. First. What do you put before him? Where is he on your list? Are you committed to him, or you just want him to be committed to you? I remember most everybody in here is my age or older. I'm in pretty safe company. Do you remember those old bumper stickers on the cars years ago? A bumper sticker that said, "God is my co-pilot." Y'all remember that? "God is my co-pilot." They were on every car in Florida. And what a farce that is. I'm like, if God is your co-pilot, you have just put the sovereign Lord in second place and made yourself sovereign. And you better change seats because that plane's going down. God is my co-pilot. You better change seats. He don't play or occupy number two. He occupies number one and number one alone. Where is he on your list? He says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." There's not much way around that, is there? It's hard to hear, isn't it? It's hard to hear. Especially for somebody that loves his children. But my children don't ask me to bend on what I believe. And my children wouldn't dare ask me to put them in first place over my God. Because it ain't going to happen. It won't happen. He is first. That's the only position that he occupies. And let me give you some good news. When you put him in that position, everything else falls into place. But you have to be willing to put him where he rightfully belongs. The seat that he occupies is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and no other. Mark 10:17, Jesus confronts what would appear to be a religious man. He's asking questions with a sincere heart. The answer he got is not what he expected. He's confronted with the truth. Now he has a decision to make. That Mark 17, it says, "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running." See, he comes running and knelt before him. And asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Sounds really enthusiastic, doesn't he? Sounds like a pretty good guy, right? By the way he postures himself, he comes running to Jesus. He's eager. He bows before him and says, "Good teacher, what do I need to do to go to heaven?" Sounds like a very sincere person. said, Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. Pretty good job. Better than I did. Because I was a little bit known to might let my mouth get a hold of me and might say something I shouldn't have said around my mother and father. Sounds pretty good. And it's a good answer from what appears to be a good religious man. And Jesus looked at him and he says he loved him. And he said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come take up your cross and follow me. Uh-oh. Just confronted him. He just read his mail. Verse 22 said, but he was sad at his word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So what did he do? He put his possessions in first place. He put his possessions in first place. His possessions were his God. His possessions were what set on the throne of his heart. Another in Luke chapter 9 at verse 57. They said, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Would you follow him there? Would you follow him there? If you met him outside at the door, and he says, follow me, and you say, I'll follow you wherever you go. He says, okay, well, I'm sleeping down at the river tonight in dirt. Come on. Well, wait a minute. You don't know about sleeping in... Oh, I thought you were sleeping in a palace. No, you thought wrong. Jesus said, the animals got someplace to sleep tonight. I got nowhere to lay my head. Come on, follow me. Won't you go with me? 59, he says, follow me. He said to another, follow me. And the other says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Good excuse, right? His father's died. He has a funeral. Jesus says, come follow me. The guy says, hey, Lord, let me go back first. He says, but first. Oh, man, those are the two wrong words. But first. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid farewell to them who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you don't know anything about farming, if you're standing behind a mule with a plow, plowing, and you turn to look back, what happens to that row? What happens to that row when you turn to look back? The but first put Jesus in second place. He prioritized something else over Jesus. They all had their excuses. In John chapter 6, after Jesus had spoken some hard words to them concerning communion, concerning eating his flesh, drinking his blood, he said, they responded in this way. Therefore, when many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Yeah, it is a hard saying. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he says, does this offend you? Meaning, does this trip you up? Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who don't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it's been granted to him by my Father. 64 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus says to the 12, you want to go too? And Peter answered him, he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where is your treasure? Who sits on the throne of your heart? God already knows the answer. Don't think that he doesn't. Now, in Matthew 19:27, Peter asked the question that they were all thinking, what's in it for me? Right? Then Peter answered and said to them, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. You see, Jesus is not making a suggestion. He's saying that if you come after me, this is what you must do. You must take up your cross and follow him. Taking up your cross is denying self. And none of us like it. The flesh can't stand it. Following means he's first, and everything and everyone is second. This message is for both believers, disciples, and those who wish to be a disciple. When confronted with this truth, we're forced to make a decision. Follow him or apostate. He didn't go after the fella. Fella turned him. He told him what to do. The fella didn't want to do it. Turned and walked away. Jesus didn't say, hey, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Come here. Maybe I was being a little hard on you. Come on back here. Let's talk about that. He didn't do it. The fella made a choice. The Word of God says, choose this day whom you will serve. You have a choice. You're going to serve someone. I promise you. You ain't getting off free and easy. You're going to serve somebody. Bob Dylan said it. He said, it might be the devil, but it might be the Lord. But you're going to serve someone. Choose this day. Serve yourself or serve him. I'm almost getting wrapped up here. I got a little bit more ways to go, Pastor. Maybe the hard question is, am I a follower or a spectator? Maybe that's the hard question. Am I a follower of Christ or am I a spectator? Do I just kind of like keep my distance? I pulled this from Got Questions, powerful little website. I'm going to quote from it. Wherever Jesus went, he drew crowds. Their view of who the Messiah really was and what he would do was often distorted. They thought Christ would immediately usher in the restored kingdom. They believed he would free them from the oppressive rule of Roman occupiers. Some hoped he would continue to provide free lunches for everyone. Jesus' statement that following him requires taking up a cross made people think twice about their motivations and their level of commitment. We saw previously at Luke chapter 9 that three people seemed willing to follow Jesus, but when Jesus pressed them, however, their commitment was shown to be half-hearted at best. They failed to count the cost of following him. None were willing to take up their cross and crucify upon it their own interest. Jesus' apparent attempts to dissuade people from following him surely limited the number of false converts and insincere disciples. But God seeks true worshipers who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus' call to take up your cross and follow me serves to screen out the disingenuous, the double-minded, and the dissembling. Are you ready to take up the cross and follow Jesus? Consider these questions. They're not easy ones. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your closest friend? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means alienation from your family? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your reputation? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your job? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your life? In some places of the world, these consequences are a reality. But notice the phrasings of the questions. Are you willing? Following Jesus doesn't necessarily mean all these things will happen to you, but the disciple of Christ must be willing to suffer loss. Are you willing to take up your cross? If faced with a choice, Jesus or the comforts of this life, which one will you choose? Commitment to Christ means taking up your cross daily. Giving up your hopes, your dreams, possessions, and even your very life, if need be, for the cause of Christ. If you willingly take up your cross, then you'll be called a disciple. The reward is worth the price. Remember that as Jesus called his disciples to take up your cross and follow me, he too bore a cross. Our Lord led the way. Now, I would say that if we're honest, and we must be, right? Well, you can't lie to yourself. Maybe you can. But if we're honest with ourselves, most of us are unwilling. And we would not voluntarily go if we knew what was coming our way. God, in his sovereign love and grace for us and mercy, moves us. Years ago, I can't remember who it was, Rebecca St. James? Long time ago, there was a Christian song called He Moves Me. And in the song, it says, I can't go with you and stay where I'm at, so you move me out of myself and into the fire. Because because I can't go with him and stay where I'm at. He moves me. And I wouldn't willingly jump into that fire. So he moves me. He moves us into that fire. Not that he can know us. He already knows us. But it's so that we can know him. And that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just a hearing knowledge. Not just hearing about it, but an experiential knowledge of it. Of walking with Christ. Of walking with Christ. Experientially. That's the right word. Hearing and doing. When faced with the confrontation, how do you respond? Follow him or apostate? You can get that keyed up ready. Now, if you choose to follow him, this is for all of us. This is for all of us. Because there probably isn't a person in this room that ain't from time to time shrank back when the going got tough. Are you committed to him? You know he's committed to you. He died on a cross for you. You know he's committed to you. He gave his life for it. That was his commitment. That was his way of saying, I'll prove it to you. If you choose to follow him, pray this prayer with me. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I confess my sin of half-heartedness before you. Please forgive me and cleanse me in your precious blood. Lord, I confess that I had put my will before yours. Lord, I confess that my expectation of Christianity has been following me and you going along with my plans. Forgive me, Lord, for I did not elevate you to your proper place as King of kings and Lord of lords, that at your name every knee shall bow. Lord, I bow mine. Lord, I confess I've fallen short in the following and grumbled and murmured and complained along the way. Lord, forgive us for not knowing how narrow the way truly is. And Lord, strengthen our feeble knees. We turn our face towards you, Lord, and beg for grace and mercy. We ask for the aid of your Holy Spirit to help us to follow you, Lord, and you alone, wherever you may lead. Father, we know that we are being conformed into the image of your Son, and to be conformed into his image, we must follow him. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your word. However hard it may seem to hear, Father, we pray for change. We pray for change, Lord. Father, we ask of these things in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Today we're going to do something a little different. Today we're going to close with worship. If everybody would stand, Pastor.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.